I got a question for you.
Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I said, do you love the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Yes. You know He loves you? I tell you that all the time. You have to get that. You have to remember that. The Lord loves you. I'm kind of excited this morning. I have no idea where we're going. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Isn't that great? That's great. But I tell you what, I know the Lord does, and I'm going to be open to His leading. And what I say, what comes out of my mouth, is going to be from Him this morning, and I praise Him for that.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Praise Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne of grace. Father, knowing that You are the giver of all wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and we praise You for that. Father, as we come before You, we just ask that You would be with this congregation this morning. They would receive what You have for them. And I will receive what You have for me. And we could just love and praise You together. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Pastor Nathan's been working on Lego faith. Building blocks of your faith. Did anybody notice what the message title was this morning? I didn't think so. I was asked, one person up there noticed. I was asked last week just off the cuff what my message sermon was going to be. And I said, faith. Heaven or hell. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. I want to start out with some stuff here. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord is beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Do we fear the Lord this morning? I drive up and down the road a lot. I see a lot of stuff, a lot of people, a lot of crazy people on the road. Amen. Can you see that? But there's something that always happens, and this is, I don't understand this. Okay, the state goes to a lot of trouble to do make a lot of laws, right? They got lots of laws. They have books of laws. When you get your driver's license, what do you got to do? You got to read all the laws. You got to know all the laws. You got to take a test on the laws. And you got to drive a car to make sure you know the laws, right? It's all part of it. State goes a lot of trouble. They set the speed limit on 71 at 70 miles an hour. Okay? Just changed it. Used to be, what, 65? Now 70. 70 miles an hour. You're running down the road. You set the cruise to 70. You're going down the road, and you see a state highway patrolman sitting in a meeting, and all you see is brake lights. They're doing 70 miles an hour. Okay? They slow down to 60, 65, you know? They go by the state highway patrol, and then, there they go again. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with you people? It's the law, 70 mile an hour. That's the law, right? What are they afraid of? That's fear of the police, isn't it? That's a fear. You know, if I was a state highway patrolman, I'd be thinking, those people I know are speeding, and I'm going to follow them because I know they're going to speed. Because they're guilty because they're slowing way down to go by me. Huh? Isn't that true? Is that the kind of fear we have of the Lord? Only when we think He's looking at us? Only when we think He's watching? Huh? You know, when you become a child of the Almighty God, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He comes and lives inside you.
Amen.
That's right. You know, you take Him everywhere you go.
That's right.
You know, He's watching everything you do. He's listening to everything you say. Wow. Should we have a worshipful fear of the Lord?
Yeah,
it should be awesome. We know that He is God. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the universe. He created you. When you look in the mirror and you think, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Huh? Where's all that hair? What's the grace? Huh? He created you just the way you are. And He loves you just the way you are. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you want to be smart, I heard a thing the other day. I had a chuckle. These people use smartphones. Pretty high-tech stuff. You wake them, you flip them, and they come and do all stuff. They said, they did a study. You know, they did studies on everything. They did a study on this. The people that have smartphones are 70% more likely to make bad judgment calls. Because they think they're smart. They got this phone. They want, how big is the word?
There it is.
How big is it?
There it is.
They think they're smart. But they're really not. They just got a smartphone. Huh? That's smart. You heard about there's five guys on an airplane. Plane's going to crash. It's broke. The air wings, I mean, it's bad. They're going down. They got four parachutes. The pilot grabs one, jumps out before everybody says anything. He's gone. Four people, three parachutes. President's on his plane. Why is he on the plane? I don't know. He's on the plane. He said, you know, the country cannot function without me, so, you know, I'm going to take a parachute, jump on the plane. He jumps off. Three people, two parachutes. There's a man on the plane who says, you know, I am the smartest man in the world. The world could not function without my intelligence and my abilities. I am smart. It cannot function without me. He grabs a parachute, jumps up. Two people left, one parachute left. Two people on the plane are a college student and an old minister. The minister says, you know, son, it's out of my life. The Lord's been good to me. You take the parachute and save yourself. He said, I'm on the plane. I know where I'm going. Student says, that's okay. We still got two parachutes. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. Huh? Is that us? Huh? We think we're smart? No, we're really not. We're really not. So, let's get started. We understand that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we fear the Lord and have a reverential fear of the Lord, and we can ask Him for wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. We get our wisdom from the Lord. We get our brains from the Lord. I'm not a smart man. I am totally inadequate to stand up here and talk to you about God. Totally. But, because I have His Holy Spirit, and because I have His leading, and because I have His guidance, I can be okay to be up here to talk to you. Huh? And not too nervous. Huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. I don't know where this is going, like I said. I want to talk about faith. And I want to talk about the option of hell. And I want to talk about the option of heaven. And as a believer, as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your option is heaven.
Amen.
As an unbeliever, your option is hell. Okay. So, if we have faith, we have this Lego faith we're working on. We're building our faith. What is faith? What's faith? We all know that verse, you know, faith is, what is it? Yeah, it's faith. Our faith. It's, we believe something. We don't see it, but we believe it. That's our faith. So we have faith in God, don't we? We have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died on that cross and was buried and He rose again.
Yeah.
Huh? And He came out of the grave with power and with authority and with might. And He gave it to you.
Yes.
Amen.
He gave it to you.
Amen.
Huh? So why do we walk around like bums? Why do I walk around like a bum? Because I lose sight of that. I lose sight of Him. And I lose sight of His leading. And I lose sight of His guiding. There's no reason for me to be up here other than the fact that the Lord has opened the door for me to stand up here and preach to you. And I stepped through that door. I could have said no. As many of you probably would. Right?
You don't want to be up here.
Right? If you want to be in the will of the Lord, when a door like that opens, I can't talk very good. I ain't very smart. I fit all those bills. Okay? I fit all that. But I want to be in the will of the Lord. So when He opens the door, I step through. And He gives me the ability. And He gives the wisdom. And He gives me the knowledge. And He gives me the energy. And He gives me the strength to stand up in front of you and says, praise the Lord!
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Get excited!
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And that's what I do. And that's why I do what I do. I want to be in His will. And when He opens the door, I step through it. I never sang. I sing now. I enjoy singing. I enjoy praising with the Lord. I love it. I've had people tell me I'm no good at it. I shouldn't be doing it. I've had people tell me that. Actually, people tell me that. Maybe they're right, because I believe they're right. But I still enjoy doing it. So I still enjoy getting up and saying praise and worship. Till Brad kicks me off. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? So we're talking about faith. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. We're going to do a little Bible surfing today. We go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the big faith chapter. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. I like this. It brings clarity to me. Now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title. The title deed to the things we hope for. That's faith. It's the deed. You got it. It's the title. You hold the title. You hold the title. You own it, right?
Amen.
That's what it says. Okay. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. The Amplified says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I like that. Faith is that thing that you believe. You don't feel it. You don't smell it. You don't hear it. You don't touch it. You don't sense it. But your faith brings you to that point where you can believe that. Okay? We're talking about Lego faith. We're building our faith. We're building up our foundation of faith. Let's go on. Still in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What's this verse say? But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. If you ain't got faith, it says you're not pleasing to God. So, when God says, get up there and preach, I can't. What are you talking about? Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you think I can do what I said I can do? Do you believe that I raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? Any of you guys see anybody get raised from the dead lately? No, me neither. I'm waiting for it, though. I'm waiting for it. But you know what's really neat? We believe that Christ rose from the dead. And He did. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. In heaven. Huh? Isn't that cool? Huh? That's cool. Okay. So, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. You want wisdom? Seek the Lord. You want intelligence? Seek the Lord. This, guys, is more than just a book that sits on a table at home. This is the power of God. This is His Word. This is like the state of Ohio filling out thousands of pages of laws and rules for you to follow on the highway in your life, and you don't read it. So you go to jail. I didn't know. It's the same with this. How do you learn to know the Lord if you ain't reading His Word? Do you understand that the Lord wants to change you? God is not happy where you're at. Hey, boy, I really grew last year. I really grew. God says, I got so much more for you. I got so much more for you. Just come on, let's do it. He's like, come on up, come on. Like, I can't jump. Wait a minute, can't jump. Huh? Isn't that the way we are? And God goes, I got so much for you. I got so many things for you. Come on, let's do it. And you say, boy, God, I don't know if I got that kind of faith. Wow. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1. If you would read Hebrews chapter 11, it is called the faith chapter because there's by faith. All these people did all this stuff by faith.
That's right.
They believed God's word. They believed when God said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And even when it didn't look like it was going to happen, and at the end of that chapter, you read where people were killed, sawn asunder. All the stuff that happened to them. They died by faith, believing in God. And chapter 12 says, therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance and that sin which so readily clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Does that sound like you and me? We are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. You got to have the patience to deal with it. You got to have the endurance to stay in the race. You know, people that run a race don't go, you know what? I'm going to do the Ironman today. I'm going to run, I'm going to ride a bike, I'm just going to do it today. I'm going to do it. How far do you think you would get? Without a year. People practice that thing for a year. I don't know how they do it. A year. How are you going to stand on the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? How are you going to say, Lord, I need your help today. I need your strength today. I need your power today. I need it today. I don't know what the Word says about it, but I'm standing on it. It's the same thing. You can't get up and do a triathlon. You can't get up and run 10 miles until you practice it, until you train for it. You're training. You know when you're reading God's Word and you're studying it and you're thinking, I ain't getting a thing out of this. Huh? And then you're reading God's Word and you're studying, you go, yes, that's what I need. That's mine. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to find that verse.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's God's Word being light to you, showing you. And verse 2 it says, looking away from all that was a distraction to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our what?
Faith.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author. King James says He is the author and the finisher. If Christ wrote the book, He's the author. He's the man that knows. He wrote the book. Dad, this morning in Sunday school, John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What does that tell you? This is the actual Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him. This is His power in your life. This is strength in your life. This is Him. Amen? Amen? Let's keep moving. Now, I want to go to Romans. Romans chapter 10. And I'll read you a verse here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We've been talking about the Word, God's Word, His holy Word, the Bible. It is more than just a book that sits on the table. It is something that God wants you to read, to change you, to make you better, to strengthen you, to make you more alive, to make you want to get happy and jump up and down and sing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes by hearing. What? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the preaching of God. The Amplified says, so faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You want more faith? What do we need to do? We need to hear more of this, don't we? And you know what's really cool? When you read the Bible, when you start seeing things that people went through, and you think, boy, that guy was stupid. You ever think that? You're stupid! Huh? And then I think, yeah, I do the same thing. Yeah, I was stupid. I do the same thing. Huh? But when you see how God uses them, and how He brings the truth, and how His power is showed forth, doesn't that just give you a little hope? A little hope that maybe just because I screw up really bad, a little hope, huh? I said the message title was Faith, Heaven, and Hell. As an unbeliever, as a person that will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and there are people out there that just really don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. I heard all you bumpy Bible thumper, Holy Roller guys, I don't want to talk about it. They've already made a decision. They've made a decision. Hell was not. I want to get rid of some fallacies. Newsweek magazine last year had a picture in the front of the magazine. It had a picture of Satan in some new shorts with a drink in his hand, and it had some people laying in lawn chairs, and in the background it had some people playing volleyball, laying out, and some demons coming out giving them cold drinks. And their thing was, because of our intelligent perception we now have, hell is not as hot as we thought it was originally. Newsweek magazine last year. Really? Hell's not as hot as we thought it was. You see how intelligent? They're intelligent.
Hell was not created by Satan. You see pictures of Satan's in hell with his little fork and his little red suit and flame?
Fallacy. Hell was not created by Satan. Who created hell? God. And why did he create hell?
In Matthew 25, it tells us. It says, hell was created for Satan and his demons, his angels, not for you. You wasn't supposed to go there. You're supposed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and go to heaven. You're not supposed to go to hell. Hell. But you see how the world changed this around? Hell's not as hot as we thought it was. God said, hey, I go to hell. You guys come over to my place. We're going to have a big old party. Woo, party!
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, there's a lot of books out there on hell. People that have went to hell, died, different things like that. I'm telling you, it's not a pretty place. And I tell you what, it's really hot there. It's really hot there.
Everything that God is, all the beautiful things that we have this grass is starting to grow, flowers are starting to come out, seeing some flowers. Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, the sun's starting to get a little warmer, kind of feel out a little bit. Ooh, that's nice. You know that ain't going to be in hell?
Everything that God is will not be in hell. It's not some place you want to go. It's not some place you can joke about.
I've had people say, oh, that guy goes to hell. You know what you just said? I have heard family members say that about other family members. Wow. Because it's a joke.
Hell is not a joke. Hell is as real as our Lord and Savior who died on that cross and rose again. It's every bit as real, guys. It's real. It's a place. It is not designed for you. God created it for Satan and his angels, and that's who's supposed to be there. You ain't supposed to be there.
You're not supposed to be there.
Let's go on. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because he's the author and finisher of our faith, we can have faith in what he says. We can have faith in believing what he says, knowing that hell is a place. And knowing that he died on that cross. He suffered and died. Anybody watch The Passion of Christ this last couple of weeks? Yeah. Wow. That is not a feel-good eat popcorn, drink soda movie.
That's the kind of movie you go when you get down and you're crying. No, I'm not crying. I'm okay. Yeah, you are. I do. Because you see, it brings the clarity of suffering that I'm saving through. You know why he did that? He loved you, right?
Love held him to that cross. It wasn't those nails. He could have called 12 legions of angels.
He didn't wipe this out. I had enough. But he didn't. He hung there. He bled. He died. Because he loves you. Because he did not want to see you go to hell. Because you know why he created it. He knows what it is.
And there's a part of you when you die that will live forever. I told you that before. There is a part of you that will live forever. It's your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call it. It will live forever. It is either going to be with God in heaven, or it's going to be hell. I want to look at a verse. It's Isaiah 14. It is Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah is probably one of the most, he's an Old Testament prophet. He's probably one of, he is the prophet that has the most allusions to Christ, of him coming back and being born of a virgin, things like that. He was just awesome at that. He was actually, by the way, they think he was sawn in half when he died. So we have pretty exciting stuff there. Sawn in half, yeah. But in Isaiah chapter 14, there's a little bit of a thing here, and I want to read this to you. Hell is not a place that you are supposed to be. It was created by God for Satan and his angels. Now, we all know, personally, I'm sure, people that we believe that went to hell. Because they did not want to talk to you about Christ. They did not want to accept the Lord as a personal Savior. And that hurts. Because you know where they are. No matter what people say, you know where they are. In Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to read, verse 12 here, a couple of verses. It says, he's kind of giving an allusion of what happened when Satan sinned in heaven and God threw him out of heaven and threw him down to this earth, and he became the person he is today, that deceiver. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. But you know what? He took his place. God loves him. God loves you more than he loves him. God died on that cross for you. That's why he hates you. You took his place. How dare you? That's why. Here in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, Oh, have you fallen from heaven, O lightbringer and day star, son of the morning. How you have been cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid low the nations. And you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. Sound like some little pride thing going on there? Yeah, big pride thing going on. That's what Satan started seeing himself. I'm pretty important. I'm somebody. I got people following me. He had pride in his heart. God threw him out of heaven. Let's read on. Verse 14. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Satan wants to be like God. That's what he's saying. I want to be God. I'm going to be God. And we know he's not going to be. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to hell. Sheol, Hades, to the innermost recesses of the pit. Verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew his cities, who would not permit his prisoners to return home? Is this the dude? Can you imagine in hell when Satan is cast there? It's not his final resting place. You may look at that this morning. We'll see. When he is thrown into hell, people, souls, unsaved people will be there looking at him saying, is this the guy? This is him? This is the guy that deceived us? This is the guy that led us astray? And we're here? I truly believe that hell, part of the torment of hell is going to be knowing that you have the opportunity. Let's keep going. I'm not going to get anything I wanted to. Well, not what I wanted to anyway. That's what the Lord wanted. Okay? We talked a little bit about hell. And there's verses of Scripture. The word hell is used 244 times in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, I don't know how many times it's used. I think it's 100. Word hell. It's used a lot. Heaven is used the same amount of time in the Old Testament, New Testament also. So it's something that God wants you to understand. There is a hell. Guys, there is a hell. It is an actual place. Where it's at, you can argue about that. There's lots of theories to that. And that's cool. I just want you to understand that there is a hell and is a real place, and people that do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are doomed to go there. Isn't that solemn? When I think of people that have died that did not accept Him because they didn't want to talk to you, didn't want to have anything to do with it, that hurt. That hurts. Because you know, all they would have to do is say, I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. How hard was that? They're very prideful. And they can't do it. You know, all these beliefs that we have or don't have. People have theories like these people that made this picture that hell is like a big beach party.
Ooh.
They're going to know something. Heaven forbid that they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They will know someday. Their theology, when we die, all the things we believe, we're talking about faith. There's some people that believe some stuff different than what we believe. We believe some stuff different than what they believe. But we can stand on the core ideologies.
That's right.
Core. We'll all get our theology right and get to heaven.
That's right.
We'll all get it right and get to heaven, won't we? Because we're going to know, right? Huh? And let's go, let's look at some stuff. Let's go to the book of Revelation. It's the very last book in the Bible. I heard a guy say one time, he said that if you want to know if you're in the wrong church, he said if the preacher goes and he tells you to go to Genesis or Revelation, he's the last one to find it, you're probably in the wrong church. Just saying. Okay. Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation. There's a lot of stuff here that I wanted to look at. But we're not going to look at all of it. So I want to go to, I'm going to start in chapter 19. We're talking about, we've came through a time of Easter when we have celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. The raising from the dead. That same power. And God says in His Word that same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Isn't that cool? Do you feel like it?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we feel like it. Chapter 19. There's some stuff going on here. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, we studied it. It took us about 3 years to get through it. I think my dad's been about 6 or 7 years, and he's only on chapter 5, towards the end, somewhere. So if you want to get deep into Revelation, it'd be a good place to go. He's teaching it pretty long. It's really cool. But in chapter 19, John gives us, there's a couple things I want you to see here. There's John sees this angel, and this angel in verse 10 says, that John says, "Then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship to him, but he said, 'Refrain, do it not. I am just a fellow brother and servant as you are, who have borne the testimony by Jesus, worship God.'" It says, "For the substance of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy." And this, I like the implied. It says, "The vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of divine will and purpose, including both mine and yours." And I praise the Lord for that, because I wouldn't be up here talking to you if it wasn't that. Huh? He is the divine diviner of this. That's why I'm bringing it to you. John sees this, and he says in verse 11, he says, "After that I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." There's going to be horses in heaven, guys. Huh? You ever follow the homeless guys up and down the road in little slow buggy horses? And you gotta find a place to pass them, huh? And they're putting that stuff on the road you don't want to run through because you just wished your car. Yeah, right. Okay. There is going to be horses in heaven. So if you don't know how to ride a horse, you might want to take some lessons, okay? Because we're gonna be riding some. Let's look at it here. Let's look at it here. "After that I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse appeared, and one who was riding it is called Faithful and True, and he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness." Wow. We are talking about the second coming of the powerful, the awesome, the impressive, and the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him. This is Him coming back. The second time He comes back. First time He came as a baby. Lowly and meek. Lowly and meek. The second time He's going to come back with power. Going to come back with power. Look at this. Verse 12. "His eyes blaze like a flame of fire." "And on His head are many, many kingly crowns. And He has a title inscribed which He alone knows and can understand." He's got a name. It's above all names. Verse 13, "He is dressed in a robe dyed in blood, and the title by which He is called is the Word of God." How much power do you have in this book? Is this called the Word of God? It's the Bible. This is the Word of God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. This is His words to you. Let's go on. 14, "This is us, guys! This is us! This is us. Listen to this. And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, follow him on white horses. Can you imagine?
You're following Christ.
God. And you're riding a horse and you're in a white. Isn't this going to be great?
Yes.
Isn't this something to look forward to?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go on. From his mouth goes forth a sharp sword which he can smite the nations. And he will shepherd and control them with a staff or rod of iron. He will tread the wine presses of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God. The all-ruler, almighty, omnipotent one. Mm. And on his garment, and on his robe, and on his thigh, he has a name, title inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Huh? That's our Savior. That's Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back in power. And you know what? You're riding side with him. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Huh? You're riding with him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great?
Yes.
Isn't it something he bought and paid the price and we can ride? We ain't worthy. We are not worthy.
Because of what he did on that cross, we are.
Amen.
He loves you so much. He cherishes you so much. He died on that cross. And paid the price for you. So you didn't have to. All he asked was just to believe. Have a little faith. Come on, believe. Huh?
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
The reason I wanted to go to the chapter in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 20. There's a lot of stuff going on here. In the first part of Revelation, we got to read this. Chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, and he was holding the keys of the abyss, and a great chain was in his hand. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years. He hurled him into the abyss and closed it and sealed it above him so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time." Now, if you know the book of Revelation, there is a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. That's what it's talking about. There's going to be people living on the earth. It's going to be 1,000-year millennium. You're not going to be able to say, "The devil made me do it." You're not going to be able to say that. He's going to be bound. God's going to bind him and throw him in a pit. And he can't get out. He's sealed in there. 1,000 years. Verse 4 says, "Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for preaching the word of God, and have refused to pay homage to the beast or statue and not accepted the mark and permitted to be stamped on their foreheads and hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ 1,000 years. Huh? Cool. Isn't this cool? This is all stuff. You think we're going to rule and reign with Christ? You think...
They want to float around in heaven on white clouds eating Philadelphia cream cheese.
Huh? You see a picture of that on TV? They're commercial. I'm probably showing age. Years ago, they had something. I don't know what it was for. But they had these people floating around eating cream cheese. No! We're going to rule and reign with Christ! We're going to be with God!
Right.
Praise the Lord!
Yeah.
Huh? Let's go on. And the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years completed. This is the first resurrection. This is a very important key. Those that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are still in hell with the fires and the flames and all that junk. And we're ruling and reigning with Christ! Huh? Yeah. Isn't that a reason to be accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Huh? Go on. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is the person who takes part in the first resurrection. Over them, second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall all be ministers of God and of Christ, and they shall rule along with him for 1,000 years." Anybody here 1,000 years old? Anybody here feel like they're 1,000 years old? Huh?
Praise the Lord.
We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We're coming to a time here in 20, Revelation 20, verse 7 here, when this 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Christ, is going to come to an end. And I want you to see some stuff here, okay? It says, and then the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement. God's going to loose him out of that pit. He'll go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. And their number is going to be like the sand of the sea. There's going to be a lot of people living on the earth. And Satan's going to round them all up, and they're going to come against God again. Listen to this. In verse 9, they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the camp of God's people and the beloved city. It says, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. God says, you're done. Huh? Millions, billions of people coming against the saints of God. And God says, you're done. Stick a fork in them, you're done. Fire consumes them. Let's read on. I want you to understand something. We're coming to the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is, I kind of wonder, and I almost think this, that one time, the unsaved are going to make it to heaven. And they're going to smell heavenly smells. They're going to hear heavenly sounds. But it's going to be called, they're going to be called by God to be judged. Listen to this. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence, the sight of whose face, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for him. In the face of God, the earth and the sky cannot be in his presence. That's the power. And this white throne judgment is a judgment. Verse 12. I saw the dead, great and small, and they stood before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what they had done in accordance with what was recorded in the books. Wow. There's a book open, and then there's another book, this book of life. This book of life is you and I's book. This is the book we have a name in. This is the place that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. The Christ said, I paid the price for that one. He's mine. You can't touch him. He's mine. I paid the price, and no one else to pay it. He is mine. She is mine. That's the book. That's the book. Let's go on. Listen to this. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death. And hell surrendered the dead in them. And all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done. See this white throne judgment? This is the question. God, sitting on his throne, has the books of life and death. He has the books of heaven and hell. He's sitting on that throne. And everyone, even the dead, those in hell, that's the unsaved, right? Those in the sea, every place dead people are, the bodies could be buried. I have people say, I'm getting cremated. God can't get me. You fool. You fool. You fool. That's not the part he's getting. Yeah. But I think this here, when you read this, it almost makes you think, when these unsaved are called to the throne of God, do you think that they see heaven? Think they say, you think they feel? This is awesome. You think they hear? Singing? Not me. Singing? Huh? Think they hear music? You think they smell? Flowers. I've never smelled flowers that beautiful before. Huh? I almost think they do.
Verse 14. Then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Satan has already been thrown there.
This false prophet and the beast have already been thrown there. They're in the lake of fire. Hell is thrown to the lake of fire.
Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled
into the lake of fire. Faster than a fast pitch baseball player could ever throw. Stronger than anything that could ever be. God's going to say, here's the books. You know, I kind of wonder, we studied this book of life. Name, your name. I almost think those people who are unsaved and not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a blank spot within the name. One more thing for them to think, wow, why didn't I just accept you as my personal Lord and Savior? Why did I believe that deceiver who's nobody? How important is your faith to your life? How important is that you're making a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? How important is it for us as Christians to be telling and showing our faith to the unsaved? Because we know where they're going, guys. And we know where we're going. We know where we're going. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we know where we're going. And you know, that's only something you and God knows. Because I can tell you I have, but if you don't see fruit, and you don't see things happening there, and I'm still doing my same old stuff, am I really saved? You ever wonder about that? You ever know people that you wonder about? Do you ever wonder about yourself? If we have faith enough to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior, you don't have the right not to try to understand who He is by reading the book. You don't have the right to leave this thing sitting on the table at home. You don't have the right to let that thing grow dust. It is His word to you. It's His word to you. And you know, and then I've talked about this before. When you get to heaven, God's going to say, I feel like David. Why didn't you? Look, I had a plan. I had it laid out for you. Why didn't you just step over there? Why did you wait so long? Look what you could have had. Won't that be just like, Lord? Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way to heaven. There's no other way. And you have to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. But you know what? I've said this before, you've heard me say this. I want to see everyone of you smiling their faces in heaven. If you have not accepted Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to think about accepting Him. I want you to think about what I said today. This is some stark reality. But it is real reality. This is not stories that I made up. This is not some fairy tale that is set up. This is the way it would be. So what's going to be? There's a heaven and there's a hell. And you have a choice, smoking or not. I mean, it's, when I think about it, it's so simple, isn't it? But it's so hard. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. It's the decision that most people don't.